worthy is the Lamb that was slain and hath redeemed us to God by his what? Own precious blood. The result of the Savior's conflict with the powers of darkness is joy to the redeemed. And Christ himself, beholding the fruits of his great sacrifice, is satisfied. Listen to what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 19. And I saw heaven open, verse 11, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the what, everybody? The Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. Come on, say amen. Clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should do what? Smite the nations. Verse 15. And he shall rule them with a what, everybody? Rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his what? Vesture, and on his what? Thigh a name written. Read it with me. King of kings and what? Lord of lords. That's Jesus.
We'll be right back after this message with a preview from next week's show.
Why do tragedies occur? And why are families under such attack? In our world of uncertainty, God's Word is filled with the certainty of truth. After years of research, Pastor Samuel Thomas Jr. has identified the keys to understanding our spiritual struggles and the solution. The series, Spiritual Warfare, Victory in Christ, will unveil the subtle nuances of evil, answering such questions as, why is there a devil? How does he work? Learn to identify satanic practices, avoid occultic deceptions, escape Satan's snares, and live a victorious life in Christ. So put on the full armor of God. Call 1-800-467-6384 for your video, CD, or cassette copy of Spiritual Warfare, Victory in Christ. That's 1-800-467-6384, or visit our website, tbmforchrist.org. Get equipped for battle and win.
Thank you, Karen. And now a preview from next week's program entitled, Magic Leads the Mandate.
You know, Jesus said that Satan was the father of lies, and that anyone that attaches himself to lying is of their father, the devil. This world is filled with lies. And the greatest question about this life has to do with the issue of death.
You've been listening to the Breath of Life radio broadcast, a ministry of Maranatha Seventh-day Adventist Church, located at 4615 South MacArthur Drive. That's the corner of MacArthur Drive and Willow Glen Street in Alexandria. You are cordially invited to worship with us each Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for Sabbath school and 10 a.m. for divine worship. Prayer meetings are held each Tuesday at 7 p.m. Maranatha continues to offer to our listeners free of charge Bible study lessons in a colorful and easy to understand format. A beautiful certificate is issued upon completion. The Extreme Praise Ministries is also sponsored by Maranatha. It is a community-based youth ministry of approximately 75 area youth. Its ministries include skits, puppetry, mimes, drama interpretation, praise dancing, and more. To request Extreme Praise Ministries for bookings at your church, family reunion, street ministry, or other events, or to request free Bible study lessons, please phone us at 448-4059 or toll free at 800-779-1787. Send comments or questions to P.O. Box 5502, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Thank you for listening to the Breath of Life broadcast. See you at Maranatha next Sabbath.
This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to Living by the Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
And in John chapter 14, let's go over there. You know, Jesus, before he went to the cross, he left us with some comforting words. He comforted them before he left. You see, it's just in his nature to comfort. That's his nature. Jesus knew he was going to die. They didn't understand it, what was going on. But Jesus knew he was going to the cross. And so what he did was that he gave his disciples words of encouragement and words of comfort. He comforted them. Amen. And they didn't understand it all until he was raised from the dead. But that's what he was doing. He was trying to give them hope that things wasn't going to always be like they appear. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, it looked like that was the end. To a lot of people, they say, we finally got rid of that Nazarene. That's what the devil said. We finally got rid of that Nazarene. But the Bible says if the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The devil think he's smart. He ain't smart at all. I'm going to tell you, he play right into the hands of God every time. He can't outsmart God. He can't outwit God. He doesn't have more wisdom than God. I'm going to tell you, God is awesome and he's almighty. Amen. Now look at verse number 16. Says, and I would pray the Father. This is Jesus. First of all, let's go back to verse 15 here. Well, let's go back. Hey, it's all good. I mean, he started comforting them, you know, in verse number 1. You ain't got to wait to get to number 16. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would tell you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This place has been prepared. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. You got to get ready. You got to be ready all the time. You don't have time to play. You got to stay ready. I didn't even have to get to verse 16, did I? Let not your heart be troubled. In the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. What he's saying is be courageous. Amen. He's not saying don't hurt. He's not saying don't grieve. He's saying don't be insensitive and don't have such your feelings off. He's just saying be courageous in the midst of your trial. Be of good courage. I have overcome the world. Boy, that's comforting, ain't it? He'd already overcome. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's how he started that. Verse 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I tell you right there, ain't but one way to be saved, and it's Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. Comforting words. Hallelujah. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love him, keep his word. That's having a perfect heart. And look at verse 16. He begins to comfort them again. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. How long does the Holy Ghost come to stay? It means we ain't ever going to leave him. Even if I die right now, I'm still with the Holy Ghost. Still with God. He that believes in Jesus never dies. Amen. He just changed locations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knoweth him, but he dwells with you and shall be in you. Comforting words. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. That's what he said in the next verse. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Everybody say, the Lord will come to me, when I need comfort.
When I need comfort.
Yeah, he will. See, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. Another translation says, I will not leave you as orphans. In other words, he's saying, I'm not going to abandon you. I'm going to comfort you. He says, and I'm going to pray the Father, he's going to give you another comforter. Now, the Amplified reads this way. I will ask the Father, and he would give you another comforter. Now, the word comforter is a word parakletos in the Greek, and it means counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby. I got a standby. I got an intercessor, an advocate, a counselor, someone who strengthens me. Amen. Praise God. I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, or helpless. I will come back to you. And so this is the word that God has given us, that he has given us a comforter in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Everybody say, the Holy Spirit,
is my comforter,
and I receive, his ministry,
to me.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Thank God for encouragement, for strength, for consoling us, for admonishing us, for exhorting us to keep going, for strengthening us to keep on living. Amen. Glory to God. I desire this so greatly for you, to be comforted by the Holy Spirit, to be strengthened by him, consoled by him, encouraged by him, lifted up by him, made strong by him. That's what I desire. That's what we pray. And Jesus said, if we pray in his name, he'll get it. He'll grant it. So it's a done deal. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what you supposed to do when you hear that? What you're supposed to receive right now.
Grace.
Didn't the Apostle Paul say, grace and peace be unto you?
Yes.
From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Then you're supposed to receive that right now. Go ahead and receive grace and peace. I receive your grace, Lord. I receive the peace. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Then it says, verse number 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Amen?
Amen.
So we see here that God comforts us. That's just a part of his nature. He's faithful to do that, to comfort us when we are going through difficult times, when we're grieving, or even when you just have difficult circumstances in your life. It don't have to be a death, but I'm going to tell you, God's always there. He's a present help in time of any trouble. Amen? This scripture teaches us that we are not to pull away, to avoid, or to leave people isolated who are going through distressing situations and grief. He said, God comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. So that means that we're not supposed to pull away from people that's having a hard time. We're not supposed to back up and shun them because we don't know what to say. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. Sometimes all that's needed is your presence. Sometimes all you just need to be there. You don't have to come up with an explanation. You just need to be there. And if God give you a word, you share that word. And then let the Holy Ghost go to work. Because if he give you a word for him, that means he intend to do something with it. Amen? So this scripture shows us we're not to pull away. We're not to back up. We're not to avoid or leave people isolated when they're going through distressing times. Amen?
Amen?
While God has promised to comfort us when we're going through tough times, it is important to know that he intends to use us to some extent to do the comforting.
Amen.
That's what this scripture says.
Yes.
God, we can depend on him at all times to comfort us.
Yes.
But when it comes to comforting other people, sometimes God wants to use you. So don't back away. Step up to the plate. You're the body of Christ. You got his compassion in you. You got his word in you. Amen. You got his strength in you. You got his joy and his peace. Amen. So don't back away. Amen. Be ready and willing to offer any type of aid or assistance that you can offer. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, what's the benefit of being comforted? How does that benefit us? Well, when we are comforted, we stop relying on ourselves and we rely only on God, who raises the dead. When we comfort others, we help them rely on God. That's the benefit of comforting others, is that we help them to refocus on the one that can help them. Amen. We help them refocus on God. So when we comfort others, we interrupt the process of relying on yourself, relying on man, relying on human wisdom. When we comfort others, and when we are comforted, we place our confidence in God and his word, who will continue to deliver and help us. We're able to keep living by faith when we receive the comfort of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not going to comfort us to walk in unbelief. He's not going to comfort us to get over in fear. He's not going to comfort us to start doubting. He's going to comfort us, and that comfort leads to faith in God. It leads us to trust in God even more. Amen. And the more we trust in God, then the more manifestation of his glory we see. Do you know the more you trust in him, the more you're going to see? You know, Jesus couldn't do any great works around people that didn't have any expectation. In fact, that was the last scripture that Kenny shared with us on Wednesday night. He had almost finished, and he said, well, I got one more. See, Jesus could do no mighty work because of their unbelief. And Kenny redefined the word unbelief, and I took it. I took it to heart. I said, man, I ain't never seen that before. He said, unbelief is nothing but wrong thinking. Wrong thinking about God.
Amen.
When you think wrong.
Yes.
So the Holy Spirit doesn't lead us to think wrong about God. He always leads us to think the truth. You see, Jesus said the Comforter will lead and guide you into all truth. The truth about God. Amen. The truth about Jesus Christ, who is the truth. Amen. So when we are comforted, our faith is inspired. Amen. We are inspired to trust God, even though we're going through a difficult time. I'm still going to trust him. Amen. Tell your neighbors, I'm still going to trust God. Amen. When we are comforted, we depend on God's grace and compassion and not on human wisdom. When we comfort others, we help them receive God's blessing. I mean, you see it. When we are comforted, then we are able to trust in God. We're able to receive from him. That's one of the benefits of being comforted, is that it puts me in a place to where I can receive and draw strength from the one who is the strengthener. I can receive and draw strength from the one who is the comforter. I can receive peace from the one who is the Prince of Peace. Amen. Glory to God. I can receive deliverance from the great Savior. The word Savior means deliverer. When you say Jesus is my Savior, my Lord and Savior, what you're literally saying is Jesus is my deliverer. He delivered me from sin. He delivered me from the power of darkness, translated me into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom I have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the comfort. I feel the comfort moving in. Oh, don't you sense his presence here this morning? When we are comforted, the pressures and the stress of life are taken off and relieved. When we comfort others, we unshackle them from the cares and the anxieties of this world. When you comfort somebody else, you unshackle them from the anxiety, from the care, the worry, even the fear of the future. So when you bring comfort to somebody, how many of you ever been comforted? Didn't it take the pressure off? It's like a pressure relief. Where you didn't know what you was going to do and you just worried and I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know how we're going to face another day. You know, you feel like you've come to your wit's end. You don't know what to do and you're confused. And then when that comfort comes in, when somebody, even the Lord himself, when he speak a word of comfort to you, or he sends somebody to comfort you, it relieves the pressure and it gives you a calm on the inside. I'm going to be all right. All is well with my soul. The Lord is going to take care of me because I trust in him. Amen. He's here. The Comforter is here. Doing what he does, comforts. This is just one manifestation of his presence, is that we receive comfort on the inside, that we're going to be all right. Amen. Praise God. Now turn to Lamentations chapter 3. Now, the first part of Lamentations ain't good at all of that chapter. This fella got nothing but trouble. He thank God done turned on him. He thank God is his worst enemy. Just read it. Oh, he talked about how the Lord done oppressed him and beat him down and... Oh, I'm going to tell you. I started reading the first part. I said, oh, Lord. This fellow blaming you for every trouble he got. He blaming you for every bad situation and circumstance in his life. He done blamed God for it. But I thank God for verse number 21. Amen. Amen. He said, this I call to mind, therefore I have hope. He said, in the midst of my trouble, in the midst of all the distress and the heartache and the grief and the pain, he say, I remind myself of this one thing, and this gives me hope. See, I have hope because I remember something about God. And he talked about God real bad here, but now he said, but I remember something about God. And You see, them first few verses, there's wrong thinking. If you ever think God is out to get you, you in bad shape. Because if he out to get you, can't nobody help you. I mean, just think about it. If God gonna get you, who you gonna have to help you? Baby, if God out to get you, you just got. So I refuse to believe that God's out to get me. I believe God has a good plan for my life. No matter what comes or goes, I'm still going to believe in the mercy and the grace and the goodness of and the loving kindness of God. That God has a good plan. He has a good plan. He said, this I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. What is it that he remembered about God that gave him strength, that gave him a positive expectation of good things happening in his future? That's what hope is. It is a positive expectation of good things happening to you. No matter what happened, no matter what going on in your life, you can still have hope that God still has a good plan for my life. What did he remember? He said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, said my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. In other words, that last script says, it is good for a man that he give his life to God at an early age. That you don't delay in giving your life to God. So this scripture gives me hope that God's compassion don't fail. So did God fail us? No, he hadn't failed us. No, he never fails. Amen. God knows things that we don't know. The Bible says the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things that are revealed to the children of men. Amen. But I'm not going to focus on what I don't know. I'm going to focus on what I do know. And I do know that God is faithful. I do know what Lamentation says, that his mercies are new every morning. I do know that I haven't been consumed. I haven't been destroyed because his compassions don't fail. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I give God the glory for that. Amen. God is faithful. Now, let me tell you what God is faithful to do. This scripture says that great is thy faithfulness. He remembered that God was faithful. Faithful to what? Faithful to his word. Faithful to do what he said he's going to do. God is faithful to make all things work together for our good. God is faithful to comfort us when we're going through severe trials of faith. God is faithful to always be merciful, kind, and compassionate toward us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. I'll never be separated from God's love. I can count on that. I can depend on that. God is faithful to supply the grace we need to keep moving forward. I can depend on God to do that. He's going to do that. He's faithful to do that. God is faithful to never leave us nor forsake us. God is faithful. We have the promise of his presence, his power, his protection, and his provision. God is faithful. Amen. We are more than conquerors because of the faithfulness of God. It's because of what he did for us. We can give thanks in all things, because God is faithful. We need to remind ourselves this morning that God is the one who comforts us, and he's faithful